You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, September 18th, 2024. 48 days until Election Day, and it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota across the Civic Media Radio Network, and the Civic Media app, and on YouTube as well, because we are having some trouble streaming to Facebook this morning. But for those of you watching, listening on YouTube, on the radio, and on the app, or on demand by podcast, we appreciate you starting your day here with us this morning. Now, we've got a lot of ground to cover here. We've had Vice Presidential nominee J.D. Vance back here in the Chippewa Valley. You had Donald Trump in Detroit. You had Kamala Harris talking to the National Association of Black Journalists. All of this going on with 48 days left until the 2024 presidential election, and elections for all kinds of other seats in Congress, the legislature, everything else. Now, yesterday was National Voter Registration Day, but don't worry if you haven't done it yet, especially in Wisconsin, where you can even register on Election Day. But why have the hassle? Take care of it right now. Go to myvote.wi.gov. Again, myvote.wi.gov. And find out your registration status. Find out where you vote. Find out what's on your ballot, because the maps have been changed for state assembly and state senate. So get a feel for who's on your ballot, and maybe it'll be a familiar name, maybe it'll be somebody new, and you need to do a little research on that. Also coming up this hour, we have our weekly climate check. Melissa Baldoff is on the road this week. We caught up with her in Phoenix, Arizona, talking about the ways that the Biden-Harris Inflation Reduction Act is providing direct funding for, again, a whole new generation of clean energy jobs, many of them across rural Wisconsin. And it's not just for big companies, and it's not just for big levels of government. It's for local levels, it's for nonprofits, it's for all kinds of smaller institutions, schools, churches, and more. So you'll want to hear that coming up at 6:30. Then in our second hour is our weekly homeroom segment, and we have officials from two different school districts, Eau Claire and then up in Superior, to talk about, again, a mushrooming amount of school district referendums on the ballot this November. As much as ever before, well over 100 yet again. And there will be voters wondering, is this an indictment of the school system and our school districts? Why are they always asking for money? And we work to help people connect the dots. This is not a failure of school districts. This is a failure of a legislature that's been under Republican control for 14 years now, that has consistently, budget after budget after budget, provided less and less of its share of the load. And that's the way education's always been in Wisconsin. Local taxpayers do their share. The state legislature is supposed to do its share. And it has not. It has shirked its responsibility, has passed the buck to local levels of government, school boards, and said, you guys can look like the bad guys. We don't want to have anything to do with this. In fact, we're going to try to take more money away and put it toward voucher schools. And so while you're being asked to raise your own local taxes, that's not the line on the ballot that should anger you. The line on the ballot that should anger you is the man or woman running for state legislature who may be working to weaken the schools right there in your hometown. So all that, Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro will be here as well to talk about the stories that she's working on. Todd Alba, of course, but then down there in beautiful downtown Waukesha is one Greg Bach as well on this Wednesday morning. Mr. Bach, good morning. How are you?
Hello.
Hi. Good morning.
Hello. We're good?
Yeah, you know.
Okay.
I think my camera's a little blurry for all the people on the live stream, so you're welcome.
Oh, yeah, you do have that little Vaseline filter effect there. You look very soft.
I look, you know, like 40s yeah. ingenue.
Yes.
What do you mean you're goodness. Leaving me, Charles?
Duh. Dun, dun, dun. There we go.
There we go.
Feels much better. Much better now. We are in this phase where weather-wise, I think, I can't believe I'm saying this, I might finally be tired of temperatures near 90. I might be ready to turn the corner and let fall be fall, even though it's not fall yet for a couple of more days. But fall can come now.
I'm always over that temperature. Like, I'm a big guy, so it's always uncomfortable. I love a good 75, 68 to 75. There you go. That's my sweet spot.
It's a very tight range right there.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay.
Plus,
I want to see fall in the traditional sense, because again, I've got these basswood trees where they're the last ones to get leaves. They're the first ones to ditch their leaves, and they go right from green to yellow, curly brown, and then they're gone. So my backyard is already full of fallen leaves, and they're not the pretty kind. So I'm looking forward to other people's trees getting all pretty and, you know, heading out to the pumpkin patch and the corn maze. Okay, I don't do any of those things, but I look forward to watching other people be happy doing those things.
I mean, I can see you and Dr. Kreitlow walking through a pumpkin patch or just, you know, having a good walk in nature. That's something.
Oh, yeah. No, we do. And there are places here for that, because again, we live in God's country. It's so beautiful, you know. Everywhere around here, there's always something else that's just you know, vomiting fall, you know, with the pretty colors and the pumpkin spice and everything else, and football.
Okay, all right.
and football, which again, I have not been able to get excited about yet. I think part of it too is this whole Jordan Love injury. It's like, what are the Packers actually going to be like? What are the Badgers going to be like? But more importantly for me, fall means fall baseball, and it was rough watching the Brewers fall to the Phillies last night 5-1, but the Cubs lost. So, magic number down to 1. Cubs just need to lose one more, or the Brewers need to win one more, and then the Brewers will be Central Division champs. Though we will still be chasing the two other teams for a possible first round bye in the playoffs, the Phillies and the Dodgers. The Dodgers also lost last night, so the Brewers remain two games back of the Dodgers in the hopes of getting one of those first round byes. And again, I don't know if it means anything. I just know we had to play in the wild card round last year and got swept. So I wouldn't mind getting a bye and not having to do that first round.
Same here. It's just that oh man, just always gets us. It's unfair. I don't like it.
Right. But again, for a team that was not even supposed to be where we are with all the injuries and everything else, we lost our manager, we lost Yelich, we lost all these pitchers. We're doing okay. We're doing all right. What are you up to out there today? You can let us know at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Or you can use the Civic Media app to text or call us. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. And speaking of texting, the Green or Gold Text to Win contest is coming up in less than an hour now, where we will give you today's keyword. You'll text it to us through the Civic Media app. We do that 4 times a day, 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 o'clock, and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Each time we do that, it's a different keyword. You have until the end of the hour to text that keyword. We'll pick one entry statewide at random for each of those 4 hours. And the winner will get $100 cash or gold jewelry. See, the green or gold contest, depending on what's up for grabs. And then one grand prize winner gets a pair of indoor tickets to see the green and gold in Green Bay on Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. So stick around for all of that. I can tell you this much. It's for $100. You text that keyword in our next hour that I'm going to give you next hour, and you could be the one who's drawn to get $100. And again, coming up after right after that contest and Brittany Merlo's forecast, Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro will be here, and we'll feature Senator Tammy Baldwin, who spoke yesterday right before a Senate vote on a bill that would protect in vitro fertilization. It's something that Republicans continue to claim there isn't an issue. There isn't a problem here. As if nobody saw what happened with the Alabama Supreme Court. And as if nobody knew that all of these Republicans have signed up to co-sponsor fetal personhood bills that would basically end IVF services. Because if you're going to declare a fertilized egg as a person, and IVF by its very nature involves leftover and potentially discarded embryos, and you can now harass or charge or jail healthcare providers working in IVF, people do know that that's real. And so J.D. Vance, again in Eau Claire yesterday, and Donald Trump and others continue to dismiss this and say, oh, no, it couldn't possibly happen. Well, if that's the case, then vote on this bill. Vote on this bill that would enshrine the right of a person to decide how to start a family into law without fear of being harassed, charged, even jailed for their decisions. And once again yesterday, Republicans in the Senate killed that bill. Had the opportunity to vote on it. Ron Johnson and nearly every other Republican voted no. Well, not every Republican, of course, because J.D. Vance skipped the vote entirely. So he comes to Eau Claire. He dismisses a question about it, saying it's not even an issue, while he's not in Washington, D.C., voting on the bill. And so we will hear from Tammy Baldwin in our next hour talking about the vote. We'll hear from a mom who is going to share her IVF story. And we'll talk a bit more about what the right to IVF bill would do. So that and more coming up in our second hour, along with the talk about school referendums. And when we come back, we're going to talk a bit more about what was said on the campaign trail yesterday by J.D. Vance, by Donald Trump, and by the person that introduced Donald Trump. And it's Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and I'm trying to find the right way to describe, and I can't, so I'm just going to go to break because I like my job, and I'll just say, you know, trashy people, they say trashy things. Oh, look, the band is playing me off. Thank God. All right, I'm going to take a breather, back in just a couple of minutes. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just one dance, no romance. Living like an alley cat, and you sure could howl. Your secret's safe with me. You're tired and lonely. The only cure will be love.
Singer Michael Franks is 79 years old today. We'll have more birthdays and other notes in today's history lesson coming up 30 minutes from now here on Up North News Radio. In our Up North News daily newsletter, you can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Did you know, Mr. Bach, that 105 years ago, a guy opened up a produce stand at the corner of Milton and Sherman Avenues in Janesville. And 105 years later, that produce stand has become a $2 billion grocery brand. Any chance you know which guy it was that opened up that produce stand?
Bob Pickensave. It was Bob Pickensave.
No, it was his neighbor, John Woodman.
Oh,
John Woodman of Woodman's. Yeah.
My next guess was Stephen Safeway. Never mind.
All these guys, and you could have picked any of them, but it was John Woodman. 105 years ago, opened up that produce stand. So in our newsletter, three things you might not know about Woodman's as it celebrates its 105th birthday, plus details on the Trump tax plan and how it could cost Americans trillions of dollars for tax cuts that they would not see. Sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, so J.D. Vance in Eau Claire yesterday, in the same spot where Kamala Harris and Tim Walz held their rally, the Eau Claire Event District. The rally for Harris and Walz attracted thousands upon thousands of people, filled the fields, parking was, miles away. Indoors at the building there on site, 500 people came in to see J.D. Vance. The things that they applauded, I guess if I could meet them, and I'm sure I know some of the people that were in that building, and ask them what they were applauding. Again, kind of the usual rhetoric about, we're just going to deport everybody. Vance at one point said to a standing ovation, when Donald J. Trump is president, all of them are going home. We're going to deport the criminal migrants in this country. Because again, when you're running nothing but a campaign that says, be frightened of brown and black people, they're all committing crimes, they're all bad, let's ship them all out. Here's an example. Here's the best example. J.D. Vance was asked about the Eau Claire hospital situation and a corporation deciding to shut down two hospitals, one in Eau Claire, one in Chippewa Falls. And there's a rural healthcare crisis that's been building for years based on demographics, based on billing and other functions of corporate medicine. And J.D. Vance was asked what to do about the crisis in rural healthcare. And what was his answer? It was to attack immigrants and claim that they're the ones that are draining the system. He also said part of the answer was more, quote unquote, choice in veterans care. The translation, of course, is kick more veterans back into corporate medicine, because that has always worked out so well for our veterans and for our seniors through Medicare Advantage, right? But again, by and large, not a moment from Vance of contrition or self-examination, because all he's got is making up garbage about eating pets. And when you don't even acknowledge being wrong about that, even when you know you are, I mean, that's the very definition of a trashy person. Trashy people are going to say trashy things. They're going to spew garbage, and they're going to say incendiary things. And when you mix incendiary material with garbage, you understand why their brand of politics has become a dumpster fire. So Vance yesterday blamed the media. He blamed Biden and Harris. He blamed anybody other than the guy who took urban legends and lies and spewed them from a debate stage a couple of weeks ago. And ever since Donald Trump did that, Springfield, Ohio residents who are J.D. Vance's constituents, have been overwhelmed by the hateful people that Trump and Vance have unleashed on them. And Vance's response in Eau Claire yesterday was, well, maybe the media should be fact-checking more of these things. The media fact-checked him promptly and said, there's nothing here. You're making up garbage to, again, base a campaign that is on being afraid of brown and black people. When talk turned to accountability for those who lie and that it leads to violence in Springfield, spills over into violence about attempted assassinations. Again, it was anybody else other than themselves, the ones whose lies have inflamed people, and the ones who have no actual ideas to share. Remember, everything we've described here has been either deport immigrants, which is going to do wonders for the labor shortage in this country, or cut taxes for the rich. And once again, Derek Van Orden was a part of the events and once again claimed that the problem is in migration. And so I would recommend, and I have not mentioned Ruth Conniff lately, but Ruth Conniff writes editorials for the Wisconsin Examiner over at wisconsinexaminer.com. And the headline of her latest editorial from late last week is, "Immigrants are not eating pets or stealing votes, but race-baiting lies are hurting Wisconsin." And she makes the point, as I did before, that for Derek Van Orden to talk about one instance in Prairie du Chien of an immigrant who has been violent and commits crimes without talking about all of the times that trashy white people have engaged in domestic abuse and crime, it kind of gives away the game. Because again, you've got migrants here working their tails off on our dairy farms, working in the hospitality industry, working in all kinds of ways, committing crimes at a far lower rate than white people. And they're not voting either, by the way, if they're not citizens, because why would they risk voting and being getting deported? And yet there were Republicans, including Congressman Tom Tiffany and that Dodge County sheriff who's been harassing local elections officials, having a news conference at the state capitol yesterday saying you should vote yes on that referendum to make voting by non-citizens illegal, which it already is. Because again, all you've got is race baiting for their campaign in 2024. Our climate check with Melissa Baldoff is next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. It's time for this week's Climate Check. Melissa Baldoff joins us. This time, I mean, if you thought you were having a warm week here in Wisconsin, Melissa says, hold my plane ticket and headed off to the desert southwest for temperatures there that are, you know, approaching the level of the sun. Melissa, hi. Thanks for joining us. How are things out there?
Warm, although not quite as warm as they had been. I am here in lovely Phoenix, Arizona, where they had a record stretch of temperatures 110 degrees or higher. I believe it was a 55-day stretch of temperatures 110 degrees or higher. More than 100 days of 100 degrees or higher. It's at least a, you know, balmy in the balmy 90s this week while I'm here.
What am I chuckling for? That's absolutely insane. It's just insane. And it underscores the need for various ways to stop damaging the climate, to mitigate the damage that's already out there. And so this week's topic, it kind of plays off what we talked about a couple weeks back with President Biden coming to Westby and helping rural electric cooperatives to embrace more clean energy sources. But the way they're doing it, and the way that all sorts of other groups and entities can do it, is through something called direct pay. It's something that you're talking about down there in Arizona as well. So what is it about direct pay through the Inflation Reduction Act that is going to accelerate the development of clean energy and jobs and manufacturing and all the other benefits that come with it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So direct pay is something, this is, you know, for the first time, an opportunity for eligible entities to receive up to 70% back tax-free cash payments from the IRS. So just, you know, cash money coming straight back to them for their sustainable energy projects. And this is something that is not, you know, competitive, you know, like grant funding. I mean, this is, if you're an eligible entity that applies with an eligible project, that's going to be approved and that money is going to be coming back. So these are things like solar, wind, geothermal, electric vehicle purchases, EV charging infrastructure, all kinds of different projects that are going to be eligible to receive this money. And the kinds of organizations, entities that are eligible is pretty broad. So it's not just your state and local government and tribal governments, but it's also our schools. So, you know, you're going to hear a lot about schools who are using this opportunity to access direct pay funding to make these improvements to school facilities and, you know, free up that money to put it back in the classroom, which is an incredible opportunity. Like you mentioned, rural electric co-ops. It's also, you know, nonprofit organizations, churches, and other places of worship that are eligible to receive this funding, you know, to make those investments in the communities. So this is a really incredible opportunity for any one of the, any kind of organization that is thinking about taking on a sustainable energy project. They can get 70% of that money back in tax-free cash payment from the IRS right now.
It's basically, it's along the same lines of a refundable tax credit, meaning, again, you're getting a payment from the IRS, and it sounds like it negates the need, not just the competitive grant process, but also the many hoops that you have to jump through for, you know, private financing. And let's face it, if you are a nonprofit organization, a charity, a church, it's a little bit tougher to get financing than if you're a Fortune 500 corporation.
And, you know, this is also really an opportunity to get investment in some of these marginalized communities who need the investment the most. Like you said, it can be harder for them to get that assistance, but it's also, these are the communities that have been left behind, that even if someone wants to give them a loan, they've got a lot of making up to do. They've got a lot of catching up to do when it comes to, you know, making the kind of progress that they need to make. So, you know, this is really an incredible benefit that's available under the Inflation Reduction Act that, you know, not a lot of people know about yet. So that's something that's just incredibly important to make sure that more people are talking about it and are aware of it, and have these conversations, you know, when people are, you know, talking to their school members and saying, hey, you know, what are we doing? How can we take advantage of this incredible funding opportunity to make this investment in our community?
I mean, I'm just trying to think of ways that various houses of worship could have truly mission-centered projects when it comes to stewardship. And I'm not going to preach any further than that, but I think that that is one example of groups that certainly can be looking at these things, not only because they're good things, they're good for the planet, they're good for the climate and all of that, but as we often talk about in this segment, there is that economic end of it as well. Mm-hmm. There's a nonpartisan business group known as E2, and I'm seeing an issue of the newspaper, The Guardian, that this nonpartisan business group has put out a report this week that says that in the first full year of the Inflation Reduction Act, nearly 150,000 clean energy jobs were added to the economy. And right now, some 3.5 million people work in these fields, more than the total number of nurses nationwide, because they're working in everything, like you said, wind, solar, electric car manufacturing, battery storage, electric grid updates. We've talked before about, you know, the things you can do to help your home or to help your small business. But again, it's just, we're trying to get people to think there's a very broad range here of things you can do and be able to get that money in the short term rather than, you know, hope for some kind of long-term return on investment.
That is something that is, you know, it's those savings are starting right away, right? When you get that rebate, that's money, that's cash, that's coming right back in to that organization. And then there's going to be the savings still from the projects. You know, that's something that we are hearing about directly from some of these organizations, from some of these entities that are taking on these big improvements, these big projects, that they are seeing savings right away when they make these investments in upgrading their technology and their infrastructure. One example that we've heard before is the Baraboo School District. They have installed two solar arrays that have saved them over $44,000 in utility bill savings in the first year alone. So if you can think about every school district is able to start using the opportunity to use direct pay funding to get a cash reimbursement to put solar panels or any other kinds of upgrades they want to make to their infrastructure, and then reinvest those savings, and then they're going to save each month on the utility bills. That's a lot of money that is freed up to go back into the classroom. So these are a lot of really tangible ways to save money and, you know, have a cleaner, healthier environment for kids to be learning in.
And another one of the things I really like about the way the Biden administration has been putting this into place is to make sure that these are good jobs that are being created. As I was looking at some of the direct pay jargon and information, it reminded me that a lot of these projects to qualify for the funding must abide by prevailing wage rules. Again, that means that, you know, some out-of-state working group can't come in and undercut the local labor force. You know, you have to pay the local prevailing wage. There's apprenticeship opportunities there as well. There are community benefits agreements, which is just a fancy way of saying that contracts will cover, you know, workers' comp, job safety standards, ways to resolve disputes. Again, all ways to protect the worker so that you don't get these fly-by-night groups coming in and just taking advantage of the workers, cashing the check and leaving. There are all these safeguards, not just for the environment, not just for businesses, you know, the charities, hospitals, everything else, but for the workers as well.
Absolutely. And I think that was, you know, one of the really smart pieces of the Inflation Reduction Act was to, you know, tie some of these credits to having those smart provisions around high labor standards to make sure that we are going to have these good jobs that are good paying jobs for folks to learn from and build these great careers. And we're already seeing success in Wisconsin with, you know, tying those to apprenticeship programs. And that's something we've seen a lot of success, you know, with Governor Evers and the Department of Workforce Development, you know, really being able to expand apprenticeships, working in partnership with our, you know, leaders in organized labor. So that's an opportunity really to, you know, not just create those good jobs now, but to build out even more opportunity in the future as these apprenticeship programs grow. And as these training programs grow, you know, more and more young people are going to be going into these fields because we know that the clean energy economy is just going to continue to boom.
So let's say that folks are hearing this and they might, you know, maybe they serve on a county board or a tribal council or their church council, whatever the case may be. The fact of the matter is you might be intrigued by this, but you're certainly not an expert. You're not even sure if anybody at your place is an expert. But as we learned from just one instance, Mandela Barnes and the Forward Together Wisconsin group, you're seeing resources that are popping up of people that basically can help connect the entities to the funding that could be available for these kinds of great projects.
So what I would say is for anybody who is interested and wants to learn more about this, you know, a great opportunity for folks is Forward Together Wisconsin is going to be having a convening in Milwaukee next month for, you know, folks who work with some of these organizations and are interested in learning more about direct pay. You can go to the Forward Together Wisconsin website. ForwardTogetherWI.org if you want to learn more about the convening and see if it's something that you're interested in attending and finding out more about these direct pay resources, how you can access them, and how to get engaged in, you know, really bringing this Inflation Reduction Act funding into communities, because that's one of the, you know, one of the things about it is, you know, some of these dollars, you know, are coming straight into the state, they're coming right into the community, and some of them people have to go and work for. And if you got to work for it, we really want people to know about it and know how to get those dollars and how to bring them into the community.
Yeah. And you know, look for all the, there may be many different ways, whether it's through, you know, again, the remodeling aspect of solar and batteries and everything, but maybe you are at a place that has some kind of a fleet. I don't mean a fleet of 100 vehicles, but just a modest fleet, whether it's school buses, garbage trucks, you know, police cars, all of those things, again, have opportunities for conversion to cleaner burning vehicles, and or say the electric vehicle charging stations that might go along with some of them. So there's always a different way that you can be inspired to have something happen with your group that this direct funding is now available for. And I've got to think, Melissa, that when you're at meetings like the one you're at now, half the fun has to be watching the light bulb go off as people kind of start doing some internal brainstorming about, oh, wait, we could actually do that at our place.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's, like you said, that is one of the best things about getting to share and learn from other people is just getting to find out those great ideas and, you know, basically, you know, how can we steal those ideas and bring them back to our community and figure out how we can, you know, do something that's really innovative and going to have an impact and really make a difference.
Exactly. Well, Melissa, while you're down there, grab another suitcase, pack up some of that heat. Don't open the suitcase till we need it come January, February. It will be much appreciated then. But in the meantime, enjoy yourself there. Safe travels. And we'll talk again soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
That's Melissa Baldoff with our climate check report that we do every Wednesday morning here on Up North News Radio. Coming up after this, of course, is today's history lesson. This is Up North News Radio from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Like shards of coconut glass.
Oh, it, like, shards.
It gets in your
teeth.
You
gotta teeth, have it right.
And it's gonna get in your teeth, and it's there for like, I don't know, like a decade, and it's just gross.
Well, so does corn on the cob, but you still eat it.
I won't even. No, that's it's a false comparison. That's a.
I don't know. I think she might be onto something here.
First of all, corn is amazing.
Shards of shards, you know.
No, but see, coconut's a punishment more like. It's just like, like, hey, do you
but
like?
What about almond joys?
Oh, get out of my country! No.
What about macaroons?
No.
Remember, this if is a guy that doesn't think a BLT is a sandwich.
It
is.
That's also true.
It isn't a sandwich.
I still love you, Greg.
It's a lie. Okay. It's all a lie. All right, let's see if this works.
Okay. Fun.
Yay.
But the senator, while insisting he was not intoxicated, could not explain his nudity.
Baby, if you've ever wondered. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, and time for today's history lesson on this Wednesday, September 18th, which would include the premiere of WKRP. This day in 1978, and that, of course, was from the long-form intro. Let's see, I was 14 at the time, and I am pretty sure I spit milk or something out my nose. I'd never seen a show intro with a radio clip like, and the senator, while saying he was not intoxicated, could not explain his nudity. I'm like, you can't start a show like that. Apparently you can. And a career in radio and TV was born after that. Melissa Kay joins us from WFHR in beautiful Wisconsin Rapids. How you doing, Melissa?
Good morning. I am recovering from a cold.
Oh, I feel like everybody is. Whatever the summer
yeah,
cold is.
Yeah, did you give it to me?
It's, yes, right through the airwaves. It's amazing. Ah, and it just the after effects just linger, and I want to feel normal again. But so I hope you feel normal soon. WKRP, I know that was probably long after your time, but maybe in reruns. Mm-hmm. Did you catch it?
Or? No, I haven't. I've heard a lot about it, but I have not seen it.
It didn't give you the radio bug at all then?
No.
Okay, that's all right. That's all right. Let's see. We have some breaking and sad music news to pass along. And that would be the passing of singer-songwriter J.D. Souther. Here's a little bit of his duet with James Taylor. J.D. Souther co-wrote most of the biggest hits from the Eagles. New Kid in Town, Best of My Love, so many others. He had a long solo career. That included You're Only Lonely, the Roy Orbison remake. He died yesterday at his New Mexico home at the age of 78. So many other hits and collaborations. I highly recommend going over to Variety, variety.com, for a very long read on the career of J.D. Souther, passing away at the age of 78, unfortunately. The number one song this day in 1961 was by Bobby V.
Don't ever make
a song like this, Melissa, only makes me glad we live in this age, the age that we live in now. When, I mean, look, if you're around in 1961 and that's your number one song, that's fine. Good for you. I'll take what we had growing up instead. Because you had Bobby V, you had Frankie Avalon. Oh, wait, Frankie Avalon has a birthday today. He is 84 years old today. All right, we need to be done with this era of
these
music.
These remind
here.
Me of my early days in theater, though.
Oh, I'm sure. Yep, I'm sure. Let's see. Tiffany and Company was formed by Charles Lewis Tiffany in New York City this day in 1837. The New York Times first published this day in 1851. CBS went on the air for the first time. CBS Radio, of course, back then, in 1927. What were you just telling us, Greg, was your most recent tattoo that you're so proud of?
So there's some confusion here, Pat.
I was waiting for this.
Yeah, because Whoa. This is not the Jimmy Rogers we're talking about.
Here, hang on. Here, let's play this snippet of, this is Jimmy Rogers, the country singer born this day in 1933. So there he is singing on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1957, and I'm looking at this clip and going, "Is this the guy that Greg got a tattoo of?"
No.
So Greg now sets us all straight.
I got a tattoo from the original Jimmy Rogers, the original country superstar, of his guitar. It's a different Jimmy Rogers, same spelling. I don't know how they made that work, but yeah. In my opinion, the better Jimmy Rogers.
I was going to say, can you imagine had Ed Sullivan, they booked the other guy and go, oh, wait.
Oh, he was way dead.
Okay. That's kind of what it, because it says here, this Jimmy Rogers died in 2021. So, yeah. Chicago Cubs legend Ryne Sandberg, 65 today. Singer Michael Franks is 79. Joanne Catherall of the Human League is 62 years old today.
She doesn't.
No, she does not.
She makes it clear in verse two.
Yes, she's working as a waitress in a cocktail lounge. Jason Sudeikis is 48 years old today. Aisha Tyler is 53. And then finally, James Marsden, the actor, is 51. I happen to like one of his earlier, younger roles, which involves some singing as well, when he was in Hairspray.
I've
never done theater, Melissa, unlike you. I mean, have you? I don't imagine you've done Hairspray. I know it's
no.
some. Wouldn't that? Have you seen the movie? Doesn't it look like it'd be fun
not.
To do? Oh, it would be so fun.
I have
so
been
fun.
Told I would enjoy it, but I don't watch a lot of movie
oh,
and TV.
Yes, I think you would very much. Rob from Tigerton says good morning to Melissa. So
good morning,
that's
Rob.
Great. Tony asks, is that the famous Melissa who took the video of Tim Walz talking in Wausau?
Thanks, Tony?
Yes. See, your work gets noted. And by the way, we were tipped off about J.D. Souther's passing from Roger and Stevens Point, letting us know about his passing away. And again, just one more musical legend. Today is U.S. Air Force Day. It is Locate an Old Friend Day. Would we?
Their age?
Like somebody that you haven't seen for a while. No. Not like stalking. Stalking Old Friend Day. This is National Cheeseburger Day. This is National Purple Bra Day for Breast Cancer Awareness. And this is Rice Krispie Treats Day.
Yum.
They're okay, you know, but the...
Oh, you got to make them right.
The Special K bars, you know, that are a little bit chewier would be my preference.
Tear up your mouth.
Oh, yeah, they will.
That's why don't Special K in a casserole.
Yeah, that's why I don't eat them anymore. Not at this age.
That's why I eat dry Captain Crunch on a daily basis.
Melissa K from WFHR, WIRI. Always good to connect with you. Have a wonderful day.
You too, guys.
Go listen to Melissa. We'll find out more about her upcoming show when we visit next week. Much more ahead in the second hour of Up North News Radio.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.